Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
As you know, if you've been following us on the Beacon Broadcast, we are learning about Abraham's faith and how that teaches us lessons of our own faith as we are looking at the closing verses of Romans chapter 4. And let me read verses 23 through 25. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. And so we are learning how the faith of Abraham is a model for all who would be justified as Abraham was justified. And on the broadcast yesterday, we saw that Abraham's faith had both a proper object and a proper content. And the object of Abraham's faith was God himself, and the content of Abraham's faith was the Word of God. Whatever God had promised to Abraham, whatever God had revealed to Abraham. And so, what is the object and content of our faith today? And I'm trying to help you to understand that faith in God has specific content. And the content depends upon the nature and extent of the revelation. Abraham's faith was largely prospective. He was trusting God to supply a means of justification, the details of which were not nearly as clear to Abraham in prospect as they are today to us in retrospect. Our faith is in the Christ who came. Abraham's faith was in the Christ who was to come. Abraham was looking forward to the coming of Christ 2,000 years after Abraham believed God. He didn't know that it would be 2,000 years, but that's what it turned out to be. Our faith is in the Christ who came 2,000 years ago. So our faith is placed in a fact of history. Abraham's faith was placed in an expectation of the future. But nevertheless, there was a content to Abraham's faith, and there's a content to our faith. So what is the object of our faith? Well, it is the same as Abraham's. Abraham believed God. We must believe God. God who is trustworthy, God who said that he would raise Jesus from the dead, and he did. These are some of the concepts that are found here in verse 24. But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So the object of our faith is God, who is able to raise the dead. God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and therefore has the same power today that he displayed when he raised Jesus from the dead. What is the contents of our faith? Well, we have more content than Abraham because there has been more revealed by God to us than to Abraham. We have a fuller revelation of the gospel. But we have the same God to believe in that Abraham did, Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who revealed himself to Abraham. He has revealed himself to us through his word, through his Son, by the illuminating power of his Holy Spirit. And he has revealed himself to us, and we must believe in the same God, the same triune Godhead, the same Jehovah, the eternally existing God. But we know a great deal more about God the Son than Abraham did. For now, Christ has come, and the person and work of Christ is history, and it has all been recorded for us and passed down to us by the preserving work of the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures. And so we know about the incarnation of the Son of God, that God became a man. We know about the deity of the Messiah, that Jesus Christ, who was the promised Messiah, was none other than God himself. We know a great deal more than Abraham did. We know clearly how the substitutionary work of Jesus Christ unfolded. Abraham saw glimpses of that. That's what God taught Abraham in commanding him to sacrifice his son, and then at the very last moment substituting a ram in the place of his son. His son was designated for death, but he was spared by the replacement of a substitute. That was a powerful lesson to Abraham. Abraham, who because of his sins was also marked for death and condemnation, but Abraham, who would be spared from his deserved condemnation by the replacement of a substitute. And Abraham believed that God would supply that substitute. We look back at the coming of Jesus Christ, and we listen to the words of the gospel, and the Holy Spirit makes the truth of the gospel plain to our souls, and we believe exactly the same thing, except we are believing it in retrospect. Jesus, the Christ, came. He was the God-appointed Messiah. He was the God-appointed substitute for all who trust in him. And so we believe in God. We believe in the gospel, which is the declaration of what God has done to save sinful men. We believe in our sinful depravity, because the Bible reveals that to us and the Holy Spirit drives it home to our souls. We believe in the doctrine of the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ on the cross, that he was delivered up for our offenses. Did you hear it in Romans 4:25? Who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. He was delivered up to the Jews, delivered up to Pilate and to the Roman government. He was delivered up ultimately to God himself, for God was the offended party, and therefore the sacrifice that will atone for sins must be made to God and must be acceptable to God. And of course, Jesus was acceptable to God in his death upon the cross because he was sent by God for that very purpose. We can be sure that the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross was acceptable to God because it was designed by God, because it was arranged by God, because it was carried out by the wisdom and power of God. And the visible proof of that was the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The decisive evidence of the divine nature of his mission, for he was raised from the dead to validate all of his claims as Son of God, as Redeemer of all who trust in him. In short, by his resurrection from the dead, it was proved that he was all that he claimed to be, and that he accomplished all that he proposed to do, all that he said that he would do. When he said that his mission was to come to save his people from their sins, we know that that was accomplished by his resurrection from the dead. His resurrection from the dead was the evidence that the debt had been paid in full, and therefore justice could no longer keep him in bondage. Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose. Why could death no longer keep his prey? Because the debt had been paid. And therefore, justice could no longer keep him in the bonds of death. And so the resurrection is proof that his death was accepted as the full payment for our sins. And his resurrection was to secure the continued application of the merits of his sacrifice. Like the high priest of old who presented the evidence of the required sacrifice upon the ark, the mercy seat, on the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy of Holies, so Jesus Christ had to be raised from the dead to serve as our high priest in heaven, where he is continuing to intercede and, yes, is continuing to apply the merits of his own sacrifice before the throne of God. And so we have a lot more to believe than Abraham did, because there's been a whole lot more revealed to us than was revealed to Abraham. He saw it in prospect. He saw it in the future. He saw it in types and shadows. He saw it, but dimly. We have the wonderful privilege of seeing it all much more clearly. And therefore, because we have been given more information than we are called upon to believe more. To whom much is given, much shall be required. If more information is given, then more faith is required. We must believe everything that God has revealed. Faith is believing the revelation of God. And for those who believe, they attain the same righteousness that Abraham attained. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. When we believe God, it is counted to us for righteousness. In other words, all believers believe whatever revelation God has given. It's dangerous, dear friends, to reject any revelation given by God. We seem to sometimes have this attitude that we can take it or leave it. Well, dear friends, that's a dangerous thing. If God said it, I believe it. If God said it, I must believe it. If God said it, I'm required to believe it. If God said it, and I don't believe it, then I have rejected the revelation of God. I have become, at that point, an unbeliever. Listen, dear friend, others may reject certain truths revealed by God, but you cannot. You cannot, if you are a believer, because believers believe whatever revelation has been given to them. So, dear friend, don't reject anything relating to the person and work of Christ. Believe it to the salvation of your souls. You reject it to your eternal condemnation. Don't search for less demanding expressions of Christianity. Less doctrine, less revelation, more emotion. Dear friends, anything that is not biblical, reject. Anything that is revealed by God in the Scriptures, you cannot reject without liability. Do you understand that? Faith believes whatever God has revealed. If God revealed less to Abraham, he was responsible for less. If God has revealed more to you and me, we are responsible for more. May God help us. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.